Welcome back to the Move Podcast. This is Allie Tetrick, and you're in for a lot of firsts today. Like, I'm doing the introduction. I feel like I stole the keys to the car. Don't tell Lance. So, or JB, buckle your seatbelts up, put on that helmet, and here we're going for a wild ride covering the Paris-Roubaix Femme Avec Zwift with my co-host, Mari Holden. And the first time the Move has ever had the actual winner of the race that we're covering on the show. Welcome to the newly crowned Queen of the Cobbles of the Hell of the North, the Canadian, Allison Action Jackson. We're so excited.
Hey, Dave,
thanks for having me.
I can't even contain myself. I'm so happy that you agreed to come on our podcast today. Like Allie said, it's our first time, you know, just the two of us doing the show together. And we just really wanted to bring you on and celebrate you and just, you know, share in the joy of what happened. So we're excited to have you here.
Well, I love it. It's also such a great way to catch up with you, Mari, who is basically where my whole roots in cycling started, was riding for Mari on the 2016 program. For my first 2 years, you know, trying to make some wins happen and seeing my potential before I even had any of the results. And then, you know, coaching me to some of my earliest, biggest wins that were, you know, the starting markers for where my career was going.
Well, that was kind of why I posted that one picture on Instagram with the two of us, because it's one of my best memories from having been a director, was because you were so new to the sport. It was your first year and your first big win. And I just remember like how much it meant to me to see you do it. But anyways, and then to see like where you are now, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always said that, you know, I would ride better for people who believed in me. And Mari was one of the first people to believe in me. And in that race, just telling me like, AJ, you can win this, when we came into Redlands at Highland Circuit. And because Mari is such a legend herself, and just, you know, she believes I can do it, I believe I can do it. And even though, you know, I crashed the lap before and we're coming in and, you know, it's kind of all against all odds, but coming into the final, you know, what I have in me is this intense desire to win and fight to the final and getting to, you know, put my arms up, or my one hand up at the time that I could only do. I mean, that was such a big moment in my career then. And it's because, yeah, when, you know, people believe in you, you can achieve more than you can on your own.
So cool, but I just have to say, you know, it's been a lot of years since then. And, you know, we've all been following you and just, you know, wanting to see what happens. And we know how good you are. And for it to shine in a race like Paris-Roubaix, amazing. And to come away with that, it's just obviously legendary, incredible. And I'm excited to break it all down. But just know that all of us who've believed in you over all these years, it's just as clearly emotional for us as it is for you, I think.
I was definitely in that race where you won, AJ. So just to circle back here, we are talking to Allison Jackson, who you have held the national championships in the Criterium time trial and road race for Canada, represented them at the Olympic Games. You grew up on a bison farm in Alberta, so you like collecting rocks already. And that big rock right behind her, if you guys are watching the video, she just won the third edition of the Paris-Roubaix Femme Avec Zwift. So 145 kilometers of the gnarliest cobbles you've ever ridden, 17 sectors, and she was in the break of that lasted. So the break made it to the line. It sprinted for the win against seven that turned into six other riders, which we can talk about. And you won Paris-Roubaix, which is, I'm going to say, probably the biggest win of your career. I know Redlands racing against me was very, very, very special, but
yeah, hands down, biggest win of my career. I mean, you know, we're always looking for like a world tour win. That's what we, you know, come into the sport for. We want to win. But Paris-Roubaix is such a special race. There's no other race like it. It's so hard to have repeat wins here because there's so much luck that has to go your way to make a win come out of this. And, you know, it's a race that's also absolutely for the spectators. It's nonsense that we're even riding on these cobbled streets that are so rough. You know, any road that had as many potholes, we'd probably protest the race and not ride on it. But yeah, we're riding on these potholed, cobbled races, cobbled sectors. And it's, yeah, such a rough and tumble race, but with so much action and drama in it, which is also just what I love about bike racing, a little bit of chaos. And when it's a dry edition, it's just the right amount of chaos.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can break down our race. Like, so when we were watching live coverage, we have to tune in at like 65.5, no one's counting, K to go. So your break established around 20K to go. So actually before sector 17, so you spent 116 kilometers in a break. So break us down, like either start with how the break went, how you felt, or like when with 9K to go, which is still a long time, you guys flirted with 9 seconds. Like you were just right there. How did this go down? How did you feel? Did you ever think you would lose?
I mean, if you think that you might lose, then if you have that mentality ever, then you've already lost the race. You've given up. But no, I mean, I knew in Imperial Bay, it's always an advantage to get ahead of the race and not have to fight in the chaos of getting into these cobbled sectors where, you know, that's where the crashes happen and where, you know, it's high stress and, you know, you don't get to choose the best line, and that, you know, also increases odds of punctures and things. So it wasn't necessarily our team plan that I would be in this early break, but my attitude going into the race was I was always going to look for opportunities. I just wanted to be ahead of the race and race it that way than waiting. I had a teammate that was covering so many moves, just her on her own, Sarah Poitevin, covering. Then I covered one. And then, you know, she's covering other things. And then I got in the one that goes away. And the thing is, it had, you know, one rider from most every team. And so how, you know, we have 18 riders in this break and, you know, right away, everyone is pretty well keen to ride it. Then we, you know, we get up to 5.5 minutes and this is looking really good. And when I think about that, you know, we have such a big group, so really we can share the load. It's not going to be too fatiguing for me to be out here that long. And then it's really hard for the group behind to chase in, you know, once we get onto the cobbled sectors, but also, you know, they have to make some decisions. You know, SD Works has someone in the break. Are they going to play that game that they let that happen? But, you know, that's not where they're going to win the race. Same with Trek, you know, they have some of the favorites, Yumbo, they missed the break. But they have to make some decisions. Who are they going to, get to take on that chase? And right from the get-go, I just, you know, I had my director in my ear telling me, you're doing too much work, like riding through or pulling really hard on the cobble sectors. But, you know, once I was in the break, then this is the tactic that I'm playing. I'm in the break, but I'm in a race like Paris-Roubaix. Something like this can actually, you can win out of. And just because we had so many riders, I'm going to be the example that I'm choosing to ride. You know, as one of the strongest riders in the break, I'm going to ride every time and encourage as many people, just by example, you know, that they can ride too. And then when we had such a big margin, then, you know, I would use my energy by riding really hard on the cobbled part. So it's hard for everyone. You know, taking my little bits of rest kind of in between the cobbles, you know, trying a couple of times when we got closer to the finish to, you know, go out on my own solo, just knowing that, you know, feeling strong and in wanting to take this race into my own hands. But yeah, you can't control what's happening, behind, or also how other teams are going to race. And sometimes in women's racing, a lot of girls get in the break, they want to be in the break, but then they don't want to ride it. And then that's, you can't win that way. It sabotages the break and it all comes back together. But yeah, I wasn't in it to just be there for TV time. I really wanted to win. And yeah, you have to be your own best cheerleader sometimes. So yeah, there's one point I turned back and I could see the group behind so close, and this was 5K to go. And I thought, we have been out here for 140K to just lose it in this moment. Absolutely. No, I'm not. I would rather bleed through my eyeballs, give everything out of heart to this race, to have a chance at even this result of, if I end up seventh, that's still like a great result, but I would rather give it all my effort and heart rather, and then, lose that way than, lose by playing it safe and then, coming in a 20th place. But I think also that attitude, and, sharing that with the other riders in the group, the girl who ended up being third, she had said one point to everyone, "Is this how you want it to end?" So I think there's a few girls in that break that really believe that, like, this is a very special opportunity at Paris-Roubaix, one of the biggest races in the world, most iconic race, to be at the head of the race, 5K to go. Let's see, let's ride hard and have it settled in the velodrome. This has still been a great ride for all of us. It's still going to be a great moment in all of our careers. Even then it was only just four of us that were really rolling it, with the three other girls just sitting on. And coming into the final, I mean, I know I'm a good sprinter, even after, or probably a better sprinter after it's been a really hard race. Having to suss out how to do the sprint in the velodrome, but really it's just got to be good position. And then, everything that, whatever you've got in your legs, then is going to take you to the place that you're going to finish in. So, on my STEM notes, we actually had a pep talk the night before. It was a motivational little clip from Top Gun that, what's the quote? "Don't think, just do." And that was my mantra for the race. I had it on my handlebars. And basically when we came into the velodrome, that's how I rode, just with feel and belief in myself. And wanting just the passion and drive to want to be across that line first.
I love it. I can hear the theme music.
I think one of the most amazing things that you were saying with 5K to go, you looked back, but we were watching it from, 9K to go, it dangling there at 12 seconds. And you're just thinking, oh my God, like, come on. And I think that the heart that you dug in with was just so, it was so special. And then I read some of your interviews, obviously, afterwards too. And just talking about being the most experienced and also one of the strongest riders in the break, taking the initiative to roll through and show them that you're totally committed to this, I think was something that we were all watching and just like going crazy for, it was unbelievable. Super special, AJ.
Yes. So when you're trying to motivate your break mates, I have a couple questions I think the audience would like to know. First of all, like, what is the magic sauce to make a good break work? Who are your biggest competitors in the break? And do you play good cop or bad cop in the break?
Yeah. I also don't do too much of, talking to everyone else to say, "Hey, like, let's keep going. I'm going to do it more by example, where, people see me, I'm pulling through every time. I'm not playing games. I'm committed to having this work out. And I think when other riders see that, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, if we ride too, Allison's going to ride. And even some of the times when I'm taking like real long pulls, it shows that I believe that this can, can happen, that we can, be in contention for the win. And then, and then also it takes the spirit of the other girls to want to believe that too. I mean, they see it in me that I believe, and maybe it helps them think like, well, yeah, maybe it is possible. And that's the attitude that we needed from the girls on the breakaway for it to stay away. And, some of the girls that sat on, they, Well, they didn't end up winning either. You know, I have to look also at like Mark DeLock, who was probably the strongest other rider in the group and really committed to just like pulling it through no matter what. And, you know, she's got to be proud of her ride too. I mean, she helped it stay away, and she also got a top result in one of the biggest races. So, I think sometimes, I mean, there's probably one time and there's a photo of it where I'm like encouraging girls to pull through, but I think I just had done a couple of turns of like back-to-back real long pulls without girls pulling through and just being like this, I mean, we're down, but that might've been like 3K to go. Like, this is the moment that you've got to make a decision. Do you want this, you know, do you want to be a part of this or not? But otherwise, yeah, in a breakaway, you know, a lot, I think probably every girl has it in their radio piece, like, don't do more work than anyone else. Well, if everyone has that attitude, then the break's going to die. And I think a lot of times in women's bike racing, a lot of girls want to get in the break, but then don't ride it. And when you get in the break, that's the gamble. That's the tactic that you're taking, is that maybe this stays away, maybe it doesn't. But if it doesn't, then that's what you have a team for, someone else to back you up, to, you know, take over the challenge coming up to you. And so, yeah, that's when you have a good team like that too, then you can play the tech where you can go full all in into the move that you get in.
So when did you actually start planning your finish line dance? By the way, those listening, Allison Jackson is very famous on TikTok for doing some amazing cycling dances. I think my favorite is when you crashed and you redid the video and we're just dancing on the side. Anyway. But yeah, did you plan your dance ahead of time? Did you know you're going to do a finish line winning dance?
No, I think what is great about my finish is it just is authentically me, whatever my energy comes out in that way. That's how I would express myself through other movement. So no, it's just, you just got to feel the feels. Yeah, that's what happened. There's no planning there.
It's pretty amazing because I'm pretty sure that's the first time somebody has won Paris-Roubaix and just broke down and started dancing. This is before you collapse on the ground and you're like, did we really do this? It was before any of that. You just like hopped off your bike with the biggest smile I've ever seen and you just start breaking down a dance. And I was like, how does she have the wherewithal to do that? She's so on brand.
When you finishing like that and then having a dance like that, do you think about how that's affecting, you know, young girls looking up to you and seeing what's happening, and that you can just take the moment and just say, this is me, you know?
Well, actually, I mean, that's one thing that I love about, I guess, my persona of dance and why I'm also happy to share it is like I remember when we were with 2016, we were at Qatar Worlds doing the team time trial, and I started doing these little dance workout things. And I remember at first I was like, hey, do you guys want to join me? And no one wanted to, but they all wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like, I remember Ali Drogu watching me laughing, just laughing at me. But I could tell it was like, there's a part of like, people want to join in when they see someone having such a good time. People want to do that too, but it's hard, you know. Maybe it's awkward. You might look funny or whatever. And I don't care about any of that. I think it's hilarious, and it is just so fun. You got to be brave to be bad at something new. And but I think when people can see someone living out so authentically and not afraid that you might look silly, but also just doing something where it looks so joyful, then, you know, that spreads to other people. People catch a little glimmer of it and want it for themselves. And what I really like about, you know, how I express myself on socials or just really authentically in life like that, I also like how it bridges. My media is not just for cyclists. It's for anyone who wants to be entertained or catch a little bit of joy or something funny. I hope it brings more people into the sport. They want to champion female athletes. I think most of us just need a little more confidence in ourselves and, you know, a little more belief in ourselves that it's really awesome just who we are, however weird or, you know, odd we think we are. Humans are just beautiful and unbelievable, you know, storylines and masterpieces that we really just got to believe more in ourselves and be confident in who we are.
Oh my goodness, though, this is exactly what your performance did, Allison. It's about being bold, being authentically you, going for broke, making the gamble of life, and you continually bring so much joy into people's life. Like everyone, you're inspiring the next generation. You're bringing joy into Mari and I's life, of course, everybody listening, but the impact that you can make with the way you express yourself on the bike is so awesome. So I had another question though, like who reached out to you to congratulate you or touch base after this phenomenal victory that meant the most to you?
I mean, for sure. My family, like, it's also beautiful that it's like Easter weekend, my whole family is together, all my nieces and nephews too. And I have, you know, different videos of even, you know, my dad shouting at the TV, but shouting with my whole name, like, go Allison Jackson, Allison Jackson, like saying my full name. It's so funny, but you know, it's like, when people get so excited, then like, yeah, how do you express it more? Or then my nephew's watching and just being like, my nephew who's six, you know, he's watching us come into the velodrome and just saying, oh, she's second. Oh, she's second. Oh, they're still going. And then, then he turns to my sister and goes, I think I'm going to cry. but of course, like, you know, family knows what the journey is like more than anyone else. You know, this is the big triumphant moment after a career of a lot of, you know, ups and downs, or they've had to release me to go, you know, ride when we're having, you know, family vacation or, you know, other family times. It's an odd schedule that I keep, and that, you know, I'm not in Canada very often. And so, you know, they're sacrificing, just alongside with me, you know, watching me, you know, try to accomplish the dream. So it's just so beautiful to share it with people like that. But also what's wonderful is like, you know, other coaches that I've had, or, you know, my second grade teacher, or, you know, anyone that's had just like a piece or a connection with me. And then they get to take it on as this feeling of success, seeing, you know, they get a piece of it too, because they've been, you know, they've been a part of my life and my journey in whatever small or big way. And I just love that people take ownership of that. Absolutely. Take that and you know, hold on to some of this success feeling that is through me, you know, the sport person. But even I had my, my coach, my running coach in university, you know, he's such like a one-liner kind of guy, you know, to come and, you know, say, you know, all the people have said, wow, I just had tears in my eyes, you know, and people just like rooting for you from the depths of their heart. And I think it also helps, like when my reaction is like, I'm so jazzed, so pumped about this. And people just like know that absolutely, whether we understand cycling or not, whether we understand that, you know, the long history of this race or not, or, you know, whether we understand that I'm the only Canadian to ever have won this race, or the only Canadian, you know, to have won a monument at all. They still, yeah, get these like goosebump feelings it's been overwhelming and so special to get messages from people all over the planet.
AJ, this has to mean a lot too for your team, obviously. And I don't know if everyone knows, but Linda Jackson, who's been involved in the sport for so many years as an athlete and as a, you know, director and team owner, and she's gone through so many years of building this incredible program, and then to have the first win, like this level monument, be a Paris-Roubaix and with a Canadian, it has to be huge. I mean, she's got to just be going crazy right now.
And Linda's Canadian, represented Canada in the Olympics, as well as winning stage in the Tour de France back in the day, and also goes by Linda Action Jackson. And you guys are not related. So I have to clarify that to people. You are not related, but you are both Action Jacksons. So is that a Canadian thing or?
Yeah, Linda always makes sure to remind me that she was the original Action Jackson. And I'm just, you know, following along, hoping to take over the name, as take over the legacy. Yeah, you know, it is, she's always really believed in women's sport, even before it was, you know, the cool thing. I mean, right now, women's cycling is really growing. And, you know, with the more media coverage, everyone actually gets to see how exciting and entertaining our bike racing is. I mean, she believed in us before any of that, you know, and really trying to help athletes accomplish their dreams and succeed and try, get the opportunity to try. And yeah, I had been on her program 2018-2019, and what was really exciting about coming back to the program after they, you know, knew the new sponsorship and how the program had really developed, you know, we have more staff than riders, and it's stuff like that that you need in order to actually get the most out of athletes and our equipment and the program planning, and so it was really exciting for me to step back onto the program, but also, yeah, to ride for Linda Jackson, who just, I mean, like I say, I ride better when I know people believe in me. And I know that Linda has always really believed in me. And it's, super special to share this win with another Canadian. You know, she's accomplished so much in the sport. And she just, you know, she wants Canadian athletes to be on the top. And she is always continually, year after year, providing an opportunity for girls to make it. And so, yeah, I hope that just for her, for the many years that she's been in the sport, that this win is, you know, as much hers as it is mine.
Yeah. Team Tipco is one of the longest running women's professional cycling teams in the entire world, if not the longest. I know it's the longest in North America. I raced for Linda as well. That was my first pro contract, Allison. And I raced for her for 2 years. And I think it's amazing. And you and I share the same coach currently, Adam Pulford. So we were blowing each other's phones up watching you race. And now when he has training, he uses the toilet paper emoji because his training peaks in TP. So anyway,
we were laughing earlier that both of you were with Dean before you were with Adam. Because last night I was talking to Dean about, you know, about you and just kind of going back through some of the things, because you were a free spirit, you have to admit. And I'm much more from the conservative side. And it was just, you know, trying to understand, he's like, but Mari, she's just a good person. And that was what, you know, I think it always came back to me, is that you just have such a good heart. And I feel like part of your authenticity and stuff is also why some of those women kept rolling through too. You know, I mean, they believed in what you were doing, but you just also like, yeah, you're just a good person.
I have a few more.
In the breakaway, I had I have a couple friends, obviously, that, you know, we're pals in the Peloton. But one, Suzanne Anderson, she rides for UNOX now. And she was a teammate of mine on Sunweb. And in the breakaway, you know, where we've run through a bunch of cobbled sectors, and she comes by me and she just says, Allison, you're really strong. You're riding really well today. And it, you know, it's like, it's a, things like that, that someone else sees that in you, and you know that they're rooting for you, or they believe in you. And I just think, all right. But also it's a little bit dangerous. Don't tell me that, because I'm going to take that and I'm going to go far with it.
Well, you took my next question from me. Is I got a lot of feedback on that, because you finished, Suzanne Anderson comes across the line, and you, your teammates at Sunweb, then turned DSM, and you hug. She's one of the first women from the, you know, that you weren't in your break, that comes over and hugs you, and you whisper something in her ear. And I have been asked, and I'm very curious too, can you share? And you guys both giggle, but it was a whisper. I'm curious what you said.
Yep, that's between me and Suze.
Oh no. Allison, I'm so disappointed.
That was a good try, like, Allie.
I was like, rider 153. That's Suzanne Anderson. They were teammates for 4 years. And you whisper it because they have the microphone in your face, and she comes over and I'm like, what did she say? Oh, Allison, I'm so disappointed in you.
It's such a silly, shenanigans that I've shared with her so many times. So yeah, just a joke between pals.
Oh, we're so proud of you. Wow, we really appreciate this. Mari, did you have any more questions, or did we let her get some sleep or eat? Or
we're the ones who are up really, really early for this. It's just I don't have any other questions, except, you know, I just feel like it's so wonderful for all of us here and all of your fans to see this happen at this moment, and this moment in time too, where you're able to inspire younger generations and stuff. It's so important. And when I feel like when you look at what Linda Jackson said, I mean, same generation as me, and staying involved and then watching you guys grow up, kind of, you feel like it's almost your kids. So I was just like, oh my God, you know, so thanks for sharing the joy with us. And it's amazing.
Did you get any blisters, by the way?
Yeah. Well, oddly, I have a blister on my wrist for my arm warmer. So I don't wear gloves. I'm Perry Roubaix. I choose not to wear gloves. Every other race, I'll wear gloves. I don't wear gloves on Perry Roubaix because if it bunches up, I don't hold on to the handlebar rarely. I mostly just keep my palms open or kind of open shut sort of all day. Because otherwise the bunches of the fabric, just with the bouncing around, it'll just rub and rub raw. So I don't use them because they'll rub in between your hand and the handlebar. So yeah, gloves off. But I had the arm warmers on and they rubbed, it's just from all the bouncing and jarring, it rubbed me raw there. And then the old classic in between the on the thumb knuckle there, always get a little blister. So, but that's about it.
Wow. Sorry. I didn't mean to take that back from Mari's very thoughtful thing, but I was making sure you have all your fan questions in there.
Questions were there?
What did she eat for breakfast? What's her tire pressure? But we're good. We're good on that, I think.
breakfast though is very important for this Canadian. Maple syrup. I'm like, nice. I'm like building a pond of maple syrup and then putting some rice in there. Is basically
that's clutch. That is clutch.
Bring your maple syrup over from Canada, or do you buy it over there?
Well, I always try to, I have a couple of Canadian teammates now, and one is from Quebec, Meg Glenn. So if she's at the race, it's awesome because she'll bring the authentic stuff out of the tin can. Otherwise, if we have to, we'll purchase the C grade maple syrup that's available in Europe.
You know, I think, Allison, we've really just appreciated talking to you, knowing that there's not a dry eye for anybody around the world cheering and rooting you on at this beautiful race. And it means so much to us to be on this show, and knowing that you're teaching so many people just to be bold and inspiring the next generation. And I've always been inspired by you since you first started beating me, and you continue to inspire Mari as well. And just keep shining that light. It's very bright and bringing joy and finding that joy for yourself as well.
Thank you.
Love you.
This is going to be a much different Move podcast than we've normally had. So get ready, guys. I told you, you got to buckle your seatbelts for this one. But this just means so much. So we have the official Queen of the Cobbles at the Hell of the North. Queen of the Classics now, you know, right there.
That's right.
Allison Action Jackson.
Yeah, it's great to be on the call. And also, you know, stuff like this, it really brings it just full circle to me from, you know, my roots with Mari. So it's really special to get to, you know, connect from that being such a pivotal part in my career. And all those things, you know, matter coming up to here. And so, Mari, you've been such a strong person in building up so many athletes and giving them an opportunity and working with the juniors and to make, you know, big moments like this happen. So yeah, thanks.
You're going to make me cry again.
It's like, it's totally on the women supporting women on this fact though. You know, you and I both have shared Mari and Linda, you know, as a director and team owner and stakeholder, and this just makes incredible athletes and really makes a difference, and it's waves into the future generation. So we can't wait to cheer you on the rest of the season, watch you smash some more results. We know you're always a great teammate, but yeah, so
we're always proud of you no matter what. So We're just here watching and cheering.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll close it up, but thank you so much, Allison, for being on the show, and congratulations on your incredible victory. And
thank you.
Until next time, we're covering. For those that can't see it, she's hugging her rock, and she does have her pet rock behind her. Curious the rock has a name, but we will be covering Amstel Gold on Sunday. So we will be there and still going in the full now Ardennes, transitioning from the Spring Classics. So thanks for joining the MOOF, and thank you again, Allison.